is from him. God, I pray that you would bless your word. You promise that when you send out your word, it will not return empty. And so, Lord, as your word is proclaimed today, I pray that it would touch the hearts and the lives of each person here today. Lord, may you speak to us. May we grow and learn more about you from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. What comes to your mind when you hear the word wait? If you're anything like me, it's probably not a very pleasant thought when you think about waiting. Sometimes my stomach starts to turn. It's not that I'm an impatient person. I do have patience. It's just I don't like to wait. And I feel like it's a waste of my time sometimes when I'm waiting that I could be doing something better with my time. But as much as we might not like to wait, we as Americans are accustomed to waiting. When you go to the doctor's office, you ever notice how the doctor's office, the room where you see the doctor, is barely big enough for you, the doctor, and a nurse to fit in there, but yet they have these giant rooms called waiting rooms. I mean, how unpleasant is that? You can go in there practically dying of something, and they'll tell you, have a seat. Take your paper and go sit down, and the room is filled with all of these things to help you pass the time. They've got magazines on the tables. They've got TVs on the wall. They've got a fish tank bubbling in the corner. And we spend our time waiting and waiting. It seems like every time we go to the doctor's office, especially lately, you're looking at a several-hour ordeal to get in and get out and over just something simple. How often do we have to wait in the car? How much time do we spend waiting in the car? I really do not like waiting when I'm in the car. But at least I'm not as bad as some people. One time I was in the drive-thru at McDonald's, and it was a long line, and it wasn't moving very fast. And this lady in the vehicle behind me was being very impatient. And she was honking her horn. She was inches from my bumper and just being very rude and impatient. And it was kind of making me frustrated because there's nothing I can do to make the line go faster. And so when I got up to the window, God laid it on my heart to pay for the lady behind me. And so I did. And they had me pull forward. And the lady comes up to the drive-thru window, and she's waving the money out the window for the employee to take it. And I'm watching with this big grin on my face as he opens the window, and he says some things there, and he points up to my car, and slowly that money stopped waving, and then it slowly went back inside the car. And I wonder what was going through her mind. I hope she was blessed that day. But we have to wait in drive-through lines. We have to wait at traffic lights. As much as I don't like waiting in the car, I absolutely hate waiting at traffic lights. For those who know me, I have this unique ability to hit every single traffic light red. I don't know what it is, but for some reason, I don't hit green lights. When I'm driving through town, Brittany doesn't like me to drive through town because we know we're going to hit every single light red. There are times that I actually start getting anxiety as I'm approaching an intersection because I know it's going to turn red. I just know it's going to. And if I'm being perfectly honest, there will even be times when as I'm approaching a green light, I'll start looking around to see if there are any cops to judge. If that thing turns yellow, I'm going to go through it, and I don't want to get pulled over. This is a true story. I have witnesses that can back this story up. I was driving late at night. It was dark towards this intersection out in the middle of nowhere. Okay, this is not in town. It's out of town a ways. And I'm approaching this intersection, and all the lights are green. And I'm getting closer and closer. And all of a sudden, the thought went through my mind, I might actually make this light. I might actually make it through. No sooner did that thought go through my mind than, bam, the lights turned red. I'm telling you, I don't even think they turned yellow first. They just turned red. And so I had to slam on my brakes. I'm stopped here in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere, at this red light for no reason. There was no cars coming or anything. Oh, and it seemed like it took 10 minutes for that light to turn back. Everybody in the car was laughing at me. It was terrible. Don't even get me started on the times that police officers and ambulances have changed the light red on me as I was about to go through. I read an article one time that said that the average person spends 60 hours a year sitting at red lights. 60 hours a year sitting at red lights. If you were to average that out over your life, it equals about to 4 months of your life spent sitting at red lights. For me, it's probably like 10 years. So you're welcome. That average, probably most of it's on me. We don't like to wait. It is unpleasant. And some of you might feel that way when you think about waiting on God. There might be some of you here today that feel like you have been waiting for God already. Maybe you've been praying and you've been asking God to answer in a specific way. Maybe there's a certain request that you've been bringing to God day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And if you're honest with God and yourself this morning, maybe you're getting to the point where you're getting tired of waiting. And maybe you are beginning to wonder whether God really cares about your situation or whether God really cares about your request. And maybe you're beginning to wonder if God is even going to answer. Can I, as lovingly as I can this morning, suggest to you that perhaps you are not truly waiting on God? It might seem like you are, but maybe you're not. You see, this word wait, as we look at it in the Bible, has so much more meaning than what we think of when we hear the word wait. When we think of the word wait, we think of sitting idly by, just passing the time. But that is not at all what this word means in the Bible. This is actually an active waiting. It's not just idle. It's an active waiting. And I'm kind of jumping the gun here, but it's packed with so much meaning that to wait on God really means quiet trust. And it means absolute dependence. And it means eager anticipation. And even so much more. But we'll get to that. We'll get to some of that in a little bit. But first of all, I kind of want to lay this a foundation for this thought of waiting on God. To me, this has been, Psalm 62:5 has been kind of the core verse that I have taken for this whole concept of waiting on God. And this is something that has completely transformed my life as I went through this. I went through a devotional probably a year and a half or 2 years ago now, written by Andrew Murray, called Waiting on God. And this is what kind of prompted this whole series that I did in youth group, and now it's turned into a sermon. And so I kind of want to lay this foundation of what waiting on God is before we get into what the word wait really means. And so we're going to look at this verse and kind of dissect it, every word, to find every precious gem that we can find in these words. So first of all, we have my soul. Who is David talking to in this passage? Is he talking to God? Is he talking to someone else? He's talking to himself. He's directly talking to himself. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to talk to myself. Sometimes you need to talk yourself into doing something, or perhaps out of doing something. But sometimes you need to tell yourself what's up. And you need to tell yourself to do something that maybe you don't feel like doing. Sometimes we need to command ourselves to do the right thing. I know this has been mentioned before, but I still like to talk about it. My grandpa used to often say, "So I said to myself, self, do this." And back when I was younger, I thought that he was just being humorous and being funny. But now that I look back on that, I see the incredible wisdom that there is sometimes in addressing yourself. David is talking to his soul. Your soul is who you are at your core. It's your identity, your unique identity as an individual. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And sometimes we need to tell ourselves to wait on God because our mind says it doesn't make sense. Sometimes our intellect cannot make sense of it and says that I don't want to wait on God any longer. Sometimes our will goes against God's. And we think, well, God's will isn't quite lining up with mine in this situation, so I don't want to keep waiting on him. I don't want to keep trusting him. Or maybe we simply don't feel like waiting on God any longer. Our emotions are just no longer there. Maybe we're drained. Maybe we've been through a lot. Maybe we're exhausted. And we're to the point where we feel like we can no longer emotionally wait on God because we are so drained. That's why it is important sometimes, if you're at that place this morning, that you might need to command yourself and say, you know, this might go against my mind, my will, and my emotions, but soul, wait on God. Keep on trusting. Keep on waiting. Never give up hope, because the truth is that God will never let you down. My soul. I'm going to skip over the word wait. We're going to come back to that in a little bit. My soul, wait thou only. This word only tells us to wait only upon God. I think that often we find ourselves trusting God plus other things. How often can we honestly say that we trust in God and God alone? Very often, we're trusting in God plus my abilities. I'm trusting in God plus my intellect. I'm trusting in God plus my job, God plus money, God plus a relationship. And sometimes we might even get to the point where we are trusting in those things a little bit more than we're trusting in God. And what this does, in effect, is that we are saying to God, God, you are not enough. Because I trust you, but I also need these other things as support in my life as well. We are saying to God that we really believe that he's not capable of handling our situation. Very often we trust more, I think, in our own efforts than God's willingness to move in our situation. And we say, you know, I know God could do this, and I've even been guilty myself of saying, I know God could do this, but I doubt that he will. Or I don't think that he will. So I'm just going to make it happen. We need to get to the point where our trust is in God alone. Because he alone is the source of our life. And he alone is the source of our power and sustenance. And some of you might be sitting here and saying to yourself, now wait a minute, I'm successful because of what I've done. I'm the one that's gotten myself to this point in my life. I'm a hard worker. I'm loyal. I'm dedicated. I make wise financial decisions. And that all might be true and great. But let me ask you, who designed you? Who made you? Who gave you those qualities? See, it's easy for us to let that pride come in to the point where we think, but I am so successful. I've made all this happen. And we're trusting in our own efforts more than God. God, bring us to a place where we realize that we need to wait only upon you. Not God plus other things, but God and God alone. My soul, wait thou only upon. I mentioned earlier that some of you might be tired of waiting for God. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you would say that there is something in your life right at this moment that you are waiting on God for? There is a prayer that you're waiting for God to answer. There's a situation in your life that you're waiting for God to move in, and you've been waiting on Him. Can I suggest to you that part of the problem might be that you are waiting for God when you should be waiting on God? It says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God." I don't know how many times I've heard people say, "I'm waiting for God to do this. I'm waiting for God to do that. I'm waiting for God to bring this answer of prayer into my life." And there is a chance that if you're waiting for God to do something, that you're not waiting on Him. See, waiting for God hints that you are waiting for God to answer in a specific way that you want Him to. That you are waiting for Him to answer in the timing that you want Him to. But let me ask you, what if God's will is not the same as yours? And what if God's plans are not the same as ours? God tells us flat out in His Word, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God says, you don't understand. Your plans, mine are so much bigger. Mine are so much better. And the thoughts that you have, your ways are not my ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how much higher God's plans are than ours. And so often we get frustrated because God's not answering in the way that we want Him to, or He's not answering in the timing that we want Him to. And when we do that, we're not waiting on God, we're waiting for God. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to wait for God. There is definitely a place for that. But this is to a point where we are waiting on God's timing, and we are waiting on God's will. We are truly dependent upon Him. I mentioned this began with a devotional that I read by the great missionary Andrew Murray. He was a missionary to Africa during the late 1800s and early 1900s. Incredible, incredible man of God. If you get the chance to read his devotional, Waiting on God, I really encourage you to do that. I'd like to share with you a quote from that devotional. This is what he says. "In waiting on God, we discover how impatient we are and what our impatience means. We confess at times that we are impatient with men and circumstances or with ourselves and the slow progress in the Christian life. If we truly set ourselves to wait upon God, we shall find that it is with Him that we are impatient, because He does not do at once or as soon as we wish what we want. It is in waiting upon God that our eyes are opened to believe in His wise and sovereign will, and to see that the sooner and more completely we yield absolutely to it, the more surely His blessing can come to us." You see what he's saying? In waiting on God, we like to think that I'm impatient with other people, that I'm impatient with myself at times, or just with the progress of the Christian life. But in waiting upon God, we actually discover that it's with God that we are really impatient with, because He's not moving as quickly or answering as quickly as we would like Him to. But when we truly understand this concept of waiting on God, our spiritual eyes will be opened, and we see that the sooner that we yield ourselves to His will, the more quickly the blessings and the answers will come. I think we often think, if God would just hurry and answer this prayer, my life would be better. when perhaps God is sitting in heaven thinking, if they would just hurry and surrender to my will, I could pour out blessings that they never dreamed of. My soul, wait thou only upon God. Let that thought sink in this morning. Upon whom are you waiting? Who are you trusting and completely depending upon? It's God. And who is God? God is the Creator. He is the Creator of the universe. He's the Creator of this little planet that we live on called Earth. If you get the privilege of going around, traveling around, I was just out west a couple weeks ago, and I've seen the Rocky Mountains before, and we could just kind of see the outline of them from where we were staying in Montana. Aren't the mountains amazing? Just beautiful, breathtaking. You look at this awesome planet that God created. It's amazing. You think about the vastness of outer space. They estimate that there are 100 billion galaxies in the universe. We really don't know for sure because we don't have the technology to really explore that far. So it's just an estimate. But let's say there's 100 billion galaxies, different galaxies in the universe. We live in one of those galaxies called the Milky Way. Do you realize how big the galaxy of the Milky Way is? If you could travel at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second, wouldn't it be nice to be able to travel that fast all the time? I think I could cut down on a lot of waiting. 186,000 miles per second, if you could travel at the speed of light, and you were to start on one edge of the Milky Way galaxy and travel to the other side of the Milky Way galaxy, it would still take you 200,000 years traveling at the speed of light to go across the Milky Way galaxy. That's just one galaxy out of hundreds of billions. So for all of you Star Wars fans, I'm sorry to tell you this, but speed of light, light speed is a hoax. Because even if you could travel at light speed, you'd still be dead by the time you reached another galaxy. Also think about this. Our sun, which is a star, is 93 million miles away from our Earth. And so in this incredible space of a universe, with the billions and billions of galaxies and bazillions of stars, there just happens to be a star burning at enough temperature to sustain life on a little planet 93 million miles away. Who is responsible for that? God. And you know how he's responsible, how he did that? He told it to happen. He just simply spoke the words. I love when I'm talking to people that believe in evolution. I ask them, do you know what the word universe means? This is always awesome. The word universe is a combination of two words. Una, which means one, and verse, which means a spoken word. The word universe is a single spoken word. Why do you think we call it that? It's because God said, let there be, and there was. That is how big our God is. That is who our God is. He is the creator of all things. And not only is he the creator, but he is also the sustainer. God didn't just create the world and then just step back and let it be. He's also continuing to sustain it. Colossians tells us he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. It's like that little song that we used to sing when we were kids. He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 He truly does. He is the one that sustains and holds all things together. If God made everything with a simple spoken word. You know what? I am pretty sure that he has the power to handle whatever situation you are up against. Amen. That no matter what you're going through, no matter what your petition and prayer is, God can handle it. There is nothing too big for him to handle. So now, let's look at this word, wait. There is no possible way I'm going to be able to get through everything, so we're going to have to do another part to this at some point. But I want to look at this word, wait, because it means so, so much. It's so deep. But this word here in Psalm 65 is the Hebrew word demam, which in the Hebrew means to be silent or be still. Some translations, like the MEV, actually insert the word silent into this verse. It reads, "My soul waits silently for God, for my hope is from him." You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the story when Jesus was in the boat with his disciples in that terrible storm. And the disciples are afraid. They cry out in fear. And Jesus stands and he speaks words to the storm. What does he say? Be silent. Hush. Be muzzled. Be still. There is a close connection between quietness and faith. Now, I'm not saying that we should not cry out to God. That would be unbiblical, because there are many, many commands that tell us to cry out to God. That's different. But there are also times that we need to quiet ourselves before him. There is a very close connection between quietness in the presence of God and faith. Often, fear causes us to cry out, but faith causes us to be quiet and to be at peace, even in the midst of storms. Quietness before the Lord is essential in waiting on him. How is it that we are waiting upon God when we never silence our voices to let him speak? Or when we never stop moving to let him move in his ways? I think that so often our devotional times are spent like this. We get up, we make our coffee, we sit down, we open the Bible, we read, we're drinking our coffee, we pray, we pour out our petitions to God, we ask him all these things to answer all these requests, and that's it. How often do we sit there in silence and let God speak to us? What if God wants to speak to us during those times? What word from God might we be missing in our lives because we have not learned to quiet ourselves before him? There is a deep level of faith where your trust in God is so rock solid that you don't need to voice it, because your hope is in God. And you're so sure of that, and your hope in God is so firm, that there's no need for a plea, that there's no need for a cry out in that moment. But instead, you can be silent before God, knowing that all things are in his control and in his care. It reminds me of that story that Dad shared about the boy that was able to sleep at night when the winds came, because everything was taken care of. Everything was tied down. Everything was taken care of. So he was able to rest. That's the picture, that we're able to be at rest. We're able to be at peace and complete silence because of our trust that is in God. It is a quiet trust and faith in God. Lamentations tells us, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Yes, there are a lot of verses that talk about crying out to God. There is a lot of verses that talk about silencing ourselves before Him as well. If we think of waiting on God solely for the purpose of getting the answers that we want, I'm sorry to tell you this, but that's the wrong reason to be waiting on God. So often we think that we're waiting on God to get the answers that we want, to obtain our petitions. But that's not what waiting on God is all about. Waiting on God in silence is one of the highest forms of fellowship with God. The adoration of God in all His glory will humble your soul into a holy stillness, making a way for God to speak and reveal Himself to you. God says in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." Hush, quiet yourself. Be still and know that I am God. There is something about quieting yourself in the presence of God that allows you to see Him in His glory and splendor. Nothing shows more trust, more faith, than a quiet resting in God's presence, soaking up His majesty and wonder. My challenge to you is learn this quiet waiting on God. I will admit, it is difficult, especially at first. When I went through this devotional, it really spoke to me. And I thought, you know, I'm one of those people that I don't really quiet myself before God. It's always me talking to God. And so I decided I was going to try this out, and I would spend 5 minutes before praying, before opening my Bible, before my mind started, you know, thinking about other things. I'm just going to sit here and spend 5 minutes in the quiet stillness of God's presence and let Him speak to me. And it's hard. 5 minutes seems like a very long time at first when you're just sitting there hearing the clock ticking in the background. But I want to tell you that I don't think anything has changed my life more radically than learning this secret of waiting on God and quieting yourself before Him, letting Him speak to you. I have grown tremendously in my own life. So learn this quiet waiting on God. Yes, it is difficult at first, but God promises in His Word that the results will be more than you ever dreamed of. And as you experience God in all His greatness, your silence will allow Him to speak and to move in your life. And really what this does is it brings our focus to where it should be. When we quiet ourselves before the Lord, it brings our focus back onto God instead of all of our life's attentions. It's a special moment where we just focus on God and say, God, I just want more of You. I just want more of Your presence. I want You to speak to me. I want You to move in me before bringing our petitions and other things to the Lord. And then this verse concludes with our reason for waiting. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my hope is from Him. That word hope, literally translated, means a cord or a rope. A cord or a rope is something that you can attach as a lifeline. You think about somebody drowning out in the waters, and you throw to them a rope, a lifeline. And if they hold on to that rope, they are safe. Our hope is the lifeline that is attached to God. And I can be at quiet peace in the midst of storms because my lifeline is attached to the God who created everything and sustains all things. And he promises that he will never, ever let me go. Can I have you bow your heads and close your eyes? I think this is a good place to wrap up. Would you just answer these questions quietly in your heart this morning? First of all, are you waiting on God? Are you waiting for God? Maybe some of you here this morning are waiting for God to answer a specific prayer, to move in a certain situation. You've been waiting on God, you've been waiting for God. Are you growing weary? Are you impatient with his timing? Are you perhaps in disagreement with his answer? You don't have to do this out loud right now, but I challenge you at some point today. Speak out loud to yourself and say, soul, self, you're going to wait on God. You're going to continue trusting God. You're going to continue hoping. You're going to keep your faith in God because he promises in his word that he will never let you down. So self, you are going to continue to wait on God and to hope in God. Also, are you trusting in God only? Or are there other things that you've been putting your trust in? Are there perhaps other things that you trust more than God? Again, you need to tell yourself, soul, wait only upon God. And also, are you waiting for God or are you waiting on him? Is God perhaps saying to you today that he has a different plan, that he has a higher purpose, that he's got a better way? And maybe he's waiting for you this morning. Maybe he's waiting for you to surrender your will to his so that he can begin to bless you in ways that you never imagined. And lastly, remind yourself this morning of who you are putting your faith in. That he is the God of all power and might and strength. That there's nothing that our God can't do. So, dear friends, I challenge you to learn this quiet waiting upon God, because the results will be more than you ever dreamed of. God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the promises that are contained therein. Lord, I pray that you would help us to truly take to heart and learn this quiet waiting upon you. Lord, that we would take the time to silence ourselves and to let you speak so that we can experience you in all of your glory and your splendor, your majesty. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to enter this waiting on God moment for the right reasons. That we would not just be seeking answers to our prayers and getting the things that we want necessarily, but that we would experience a deeper, more meaningful relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you would help those who are going through storms today to be able to be at peace because their lifeline is attached to the God of the universe. And they're able to just be at quiet peace and to be still, even in the midst of storms, because you are in control and nothing is out of your hands and nothing is too difficult for you. Lord, help us to trust you above all things and to not trust in things more. Lord, today we are hungry for more of you because you are all that satisfies. Can we sing this song, Hungry, one last time?
To you, for I know you said.